Good morning, everyone. Let us open with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, here this morning. Give me your words. Teach us, Lord, all that you would have us get from you and from your word today. Thank you in advance for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Well, I see that you all remembered to adjust your clocks. I was sharing with Shane this morning. I changed all my clocks just before going to bed last night. There's one clock that didn't change. My own. So at 6:15, I was wide awake. And I'm like, well, might as well get up. So my clock has not yet changed. I don't know. Do any of you have dogs? I was in Starbucks and someone came in and says, my dog's clock didn't change either. They wanted outside at the same time. But it's just a beautiful day out there. I was sharing with Ralph. I go, you know, that really doesn't affect how I'm doing. That's just a situation or a circumstance. Joy is independent of whether it's raining, snowing, cold, windy, blowing, or whether it's a nice day. But I still like nice days, you know. So, but I'm just thankful that God's given me this day, us this day, and he will show us more of himself, who he is, what he has for us to do while we're here on this short time on earth. And I'm going to start today just by picking up where we left off last week, the very end part. We're in Ephesians chapter 6, looking at verses 10 through 18. And what amazes me is we ended last week with the end of verse 11. So in two full weeks, we've made it through two verses. I would have never guessed that when God said, start sharing here. Maybe we'll get through two verses today, but I don't know. So at the end of last week, we started out, 10 and 11 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we ended with kind of going through what that really means by the wiles of the devil. It's one of those words that's not part of our everyday conversation. How many of you have used wiles this week? Or even this month when you're talking outside of maybe quoting the scripture from the word of God. It's just not part of our general conversation. Therefore, most people, and I would say even myself, till I looked into it, I mean, I had an idea what it meant, but not fully. So let's just review there and pick up from there. Standing against the wiles of the devil, that word wiles, when you go back and look at the Greek word that's used there, it means basically, it gives three different descriptions of this word. And first it uses the word travesty. Wiles means a travesty, which is a false or distorted representation of something. To the point, in some cases, where it's even absurd. Like, how could you even go there? It's that false. It's that far out. Next it says, wiles is trickery, the practice of deception. And finally, and this is the one that I wouldn't have gotten out of this word, was it means to lie in wait, which is also what Satan is doing. He's lying in wait, really, to try this travesty and trickery, the deceptions and the distortions. This is what he's doing. So it's all in that one word, stand against the wiles of the devil. So in other words, this is his methods. But there are specific methods that he has. Actually, the Greek word used there is methodia. Okay, not here to teach people Greek, but that's the word it uses. And that I would have connected, but I wouldn't have gotten everything that was in it until I started looking at it even more. So that's really at the end of verse 11, and that's where we left off last week. So we're actually going to go into verse 12. The next phrase statement it makes, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. This is one of the key portions of this whole passage. Because if you get this wrong, you're going to be applying everything that it shares here to the wrong object or subject. Okay? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Let me give you an example. Within the last couple of weeks, I had a telephone conversation with the Marabellas. They called me from Tanzania, and they shared something with me specific to one of their Maasai staff. And his name is Mahate. He's the youngest of the four brothers that are the four brothers that's on their staff of the Maasai. And they shared that something to me so awful that I can't even believe that a culture would act this way, but this is what they do and how they carry on daily life. Not everyone. I will preclude it with that, or start it with that. Mahate's father-in-law does not know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And as such, he is a servant of the devil. The Bible makes it very clear we're either a servant of God or we're a servant of Satan. We're serving one or the other, okay? And in this case, he's a servant of his father, Satan. And as such, Satan's out there. He's listening to what Satan's saying, and he's doing it. So the story is this that was relayed to me. His father-in-law, and I won't go through all the things that he's doing wrong and bad, but he has kidnapped his daughter, who is Mahate's wife. So Mahate is married to this man's daughter. She has two children, a one-year-old and a three-year-old. And he doesn't have all he wants, so he's decided he's going to get it somehow. He's kidnapped his daughter, pulled her out of the home, took her away from her two children initially, just kidnapped her, took her to a place where no one could find her, and sent a message that unless Mahate gives him three cows, he can't get his wife back. Okay? Simple kidnapping, extortion, trying to get money unrightly. Now, all I will say, this part may affect our minds. How can anyone live this way? But the leaders of this Maasai village said, you have to pay the price. Now, they did go on to say that if you pay this price, we'll never let him do this again. So in other words, you pay the price, he won't be able to keep doing this. We'll make sure of that. But you have to pay the price. The problem is right now he doesn't have the three cows to give his father-in-law. Now, I will say in short term, the two children have been reunited with her, the one-year-old and three-year-old. So now they're all with this father-in-law who's doing this to him. Now, I will tell on myself. Up here, I never tell stories about what other people are doing wrong. God has me often, more often in this last year than ever before, sharing when I get things wrong. And I can tell you when I first heard this, and I hung up the phone, I went to God, and I started to pray. Now, these weren't the exact words, but the whole idea of it was, just erase them from the face of the earth so the problem goes away. Just being honest, okay? And I can tell you that God stopped me. I mean immediately and go, you do know that I love him and I want him to come into my kingdom and know me as his Savior and Lord too. And if you pray this prayer, he's not going to have that opportunity. How would you like it if I came back and did that to you, wiped you out before you had the chance? Okay, I get it, God. That's all I can say. I'm telling on myself, but that's where my thoughts went first. Just, this man is bad, and he's doing bad. Just wipe him out. I changed. and I'm listening to God, so I then prayed, okay, God, how do you want me to pray? And here's the key. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. He's just doing what his father Satan's telling him to do. Okay? So our battle is not against him. It is against the one who is directing him to do this. Okay? I like how 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 and 4 puts this. If you want to make a note, if you want to turn there and look at it as I'm continuing to talk, I'll share it to you. I actually type this one out. This is not one I have put in my memory bank yet that I should. I guess once I read it, I go, well, why isn't this was in there? I know it, but 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4 says this, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So if we've been given weapons and they're not carnal or fleshly, then we really can't be using them against flesh. They're not carnal weapons for use against the flesh. They are spiritual weapons for use against spiritual forces and spiritual beings. Because now once we finish this statement, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, it then goes on to tell us who it is we are wrestling against. It says against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. If you hear that, do you hear anything about a man in there anywhere? So it's not about fighting against your brother or your sister. This too took me back to one of the first things that God had me teach. Actually, last year when I went for the first time to the Maasai, was along this very lines. Because I had been made aware of how much the different tribes hate each other. Now, we use the word hate here, and we know there's hate actions and hate crimes. But there, their hate plays out a little different. If, in fact, someone from another tribe comes into their tribe, they just don't leave again. Their hate is taken to extremes. They'll just kill them. So their hatred for other tribes goes to a length that most of us wouldn't even think of going to. Even if there was any hate in us, we would stop short of just, okay, I hate them, I'll kill them. But that's where theirs goes. And so God had me teach on this very thing, that for them they were dividing up each tribe as before God. Now, we all have our ancestry. Each one of you can go back and say, well, say, for example, my heritage through my father is Swedish, and through my mother it's German and English, okay? So we all have our backgrounds and nationalities. They look at themselves as, well, I'm of the Maasai. I'm of the Wasukuma. I'm of the, you know, Tongwe. I'm of the Vidunda, whatever. And they identify with that. See, we're not to identify with that. God only sees two groups. This is the way God had me teach it. Group one, those who know him as Savior and Lord and are his children. Group two, those who don't. That's it. There's two groups. Saved, unsaved. Children, not children. And literally speaking to them, they're now saved, but they really don't have the revelation of this yet. And it's one of the things that God impressed upon me to get across to them. And all I will tell you is those who have got to hear this word, many of the Maasai on the staff have got to hear it over and over from me all the time because God has me keep sharing it. And they're beginning to walk it out now. There are people of the Maasai ministering to the Tongwe and to the Vidunda, and the Tongwe, actually the pastor in the Vidunda tribe, is from the Tongwe, and they don't get along either. But now he's their pastor, and they've accepted him. So I'm starting to see it walk out there, and it's exciting. The Maasai church actually received in someone from the Tongwe tribe to come and spend time in their village. I think I shared this before. When the Marabellas first presented it to the church, I said, well, he can stay here in the church. And the church leader says, nope, can't do that. And they're like, why? And he said, well, because the rest of the village would come and kill him. We want him to come, but he has to stay in our houses. We'll protect him and make sure he lives, which is a great place to start. If you're going to invite someone in, you do want him to live and be able to leave. But the church is now getting this. In other words, they're willing to receive people from other tribes because they see that they're our brothers and sisters now. We now associate with them. They're part of us, not just this tribe mentality. So Satan is actually, I guess this is another thing that God wanted me to share this morning too, was though we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, we also, I think, can clearly see that Satan is using people in the flesh to do what, to carry out what he would want done here. Just the way God does, Satan's doing the same thing. Like this father-in-law of Mahate, okay? He's listening to Satan and doing things of Satan. I think of John 10:10, where it says, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. The thief there being the Pharisees. In other words, it's people being used to do the work that Satan would have them do. Okay? And this man is definitely, Mahate's father-in-law is trying to steal from his son-in-law to get money. So I share that too. As the Holy Spirit leads any of you, be praying for Mahate. He's in a tough situation. His wife has been taken from him. Could you imagine that, any of you husbands? Your wife's been kidnapped. Unless you can come up with a ransom, you're not getting her back. God had me change. Just be praying that, okay, he's able to get the funds needed, these three cows, to be able to pay off the debt. And God's led me some other ways to pray too, but I won't go into that. But so as God had me share with the Messiah, it was really to come down to so that they wouldn't be trained, or so that they would become untrained in being used by Satan in the way that they were used before. And that is that they need to love everyone. Not just their brothers and sisters, but now even those who aren't saved. See them the same way God does, and that he wants them in the kingdom just as much as he wanted you and I or them. So that was part of the teaching there, and that really comes from this scripture. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against all the things that were listed in this verse. It's simply meaning, I won't go into detail breaking down each one of those. You could spend some time here. God, I guess, just impressed upon me just to share that. And it really comes down to, this is Satan and all those who've been cast out of heaven with him, demons, you know, evil spirits, anything. It's all included in this group, spiritual hosts of wickedness. They're all out there doing a work, and the Bible makes it clear what their work is. Okay. We shouldn't be surprised when it happens, because the Bible says this is going on. But what we need to do is read the rest of the account. And I like in particular Romans 8:31. This wasn't anywhere in my teaching this morning. Romans 8:31 says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, we know who's against us. It just told us right here. Okay? But really the interpretation of that and the better reading is, what does it matter who's against us? Because it really doesn't matter. If you know him and his promises to us, and if we walk it out his way, it will overcome anything that Satan's trying to do. And for me, that was one of the most exciting things on my most recent trip. I had never seen Satan come against the work that God had laid before us more on any given trip in my life. But I had also never seen God do more great things above and beyond what we thought God had for us to do than what God did on this trip. Everything Satan tried, God did something greater. It was fun just to watch. I mean, it was so exciting. Like, okay, God, what are you going to do this time? And just sit back and watch what God would do. Now, I also know that a lot of this happened for a couple of different reasons. One, y'all were praying for us. People in Kurdistan were praying for us. People in Florida, Illinois, Ohio, Pennsylvania. I know this for a fact, because I had talked to churches, asked for prayer, and I know they were praying. And I happen to believe that God listens to the prayers of the saints and does something about it. So I got to see these results of your prayers. I also know it has something to do with walking out what God has us do in the way he'd have us walk it out. So we made sure to do all that God put before us to do in the way that he wanted us to do it, okay? And when that happens, we shouldn't be surprised when we see spectacular results, God results, okay? Even though I can tell you, I'd see it and go, wow, didn't expect that, but maybe I should have. It was just actually that fun to watch. So, the next verse 13 starts out this way. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, So I want to spend a little time on this phrase. It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now, I mentioned this earlier. It had us put on the whole armor of God back in verse 10. Okay. Verse 11. But I mentioned even then that it states this very thing again. So we're to take up and put on the whole armor of God. Now, I will tell you that how I'm going to share this with you is different than how I presented it to the Messiah when I was teaching on the full armor of God. And there's a reason. It's not that the truth is different. The audience is different. See, I was speaking to a group of people who, up till this point in time, really had no knowledge of the truth of this passage. None whatsoever. So I was teaching them in such a way that they would be able to learn it for the first time. Okay? For the very first time. Pastor David Landis, who was here last week, we were talking after the church service. I was sitting with him and Pastor Bill. And one of the things he said was, you know, it is said, and people have studied it out, that you need to hear something at least 7 times before it really gets solidified inside of you, that you're not going to lose it. You need to hear it 7 times. Well, I didn't go into this in teaching with the Messiah in this way, thinking I've got to share this 7 times before they get it. But God had impressed upon me before I left on this trip to teach these truths even in advance of going to the very first village. So as we had many hours in vehicles, partially because of some of the things that Satan attempted, we had several aborted trips and attempts to reach the first village. So we had probably 20 hours in a vehicle prior to getting to the first village that we went to. Okay? And I was teaching the whole time. Basically, what God had me do was teach the teachings that I was going to be teaching in the various villages so the Messiah could get it. And then God showed me why later. He gave me a general overall reason why, and that was, I'm not always there. The Marabellas aren't always there. They're always there, okay? And when we were shut out of the Messiah village after that very first day, I instantly, then it was even clearer as to why I needed to be teaching them. This Messiah staff, they had heard these teachings by this point in time at least 4 times from me, okay? And so after we were shut out of going in, literally 2 weeks later, my interpreter into Messiah went back into the church and shared what I wasn't able to share because I wasn't there, because God had gotten it into him. So the deposit had been made so he could go share it with the church. That really excited me because God worked all of that out. But back to this portion here where it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Now, I actually had a discussion with Pastor Bill last week. Since this is Sunday, that would be just last week. And it's so good that we have a man of God that we can turn to like that when we're processing something. I had an idea of how I was going to share this. And he said, well, think about this. And it brought back a memory. I went on a missions trip to India and Sri Lanka with Pastor Bill back in 2018, in the beginning of 2018. And God had put on his heart to share certain messages at these little villages. And he shared on this one topic in each village. And he presented it in the same way. And he used an analogy. And he shared with me that analogy. And what was funny to me was, as he shared it with me this time, I remember back to when I heard him sharing it, because I'd never heard it before. You all who have been sitting under his teaching for the last, let's say, 30, 40 years, may have heard this before, okay? But what he was sharing was, his analogy was this. And that is, let's say, for example, and this was his example. He said, in the natural, you go out and you buy a furnace. You have a furnace, okay? Now, there's a key. You take that furnace and you put it in your house and you don't turn it on. Can you expect to have any heat when you need it? No. Okay? The translation or the
analogy to it in the spirit is this. If God has given you revelation in an area, you've got it. You know it. You could talk about it to anybody else. You've got it. But you don't do what the Bible says you need to do to turn it on. Can you expect the results from it? What does it tell us we are to do here? In other words, the Bible's telling us, right? Okay. It's saying, take up, put on. If you haven't taken up and you haven't put it on, can you expect to get the results? You know, the Bible says you need to continually renew your mind on the Word of God. Also, think of James chapter 1, verse 20. What does it say there? But be doers of the Word. It's actually verse 22. But be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So what's the Word say to do here? Take up, put on. This is how you activate the truths, the revelation, the knowledge that God has given you in this particular area. Okay? Pastor Bill encouraged me to do a study on the word worketh. The King James translation of the word, there are actually several Greek words that are translated worketh. However, the one that he was talking about is the Greek word energeo, which literally means to become, to be made active, to activate. There are about 20-some such verses in the Bible. So there is an activation of things. And this activation here for us, where I was teaching the Messiah, literally through this passage to go through it, because I was trying to get it into them so that they had it, is not meant to be for us who have heard this truth, understand this truth, have some revelation on this truth, to do it as a religious exercise. Okay? It's not to be something that we just, so that it becomes that, a religious activity that we think, oh, we got to do it this way at this time, and we got to do this, 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 and this. That's not what God is looking for. But the important thing is this, is that it is done sometime during your day, each and every day. And I started thinking about this shortly after Pastor Bill and I had talked, and I started thinking back to my own life, okay, do I do this each and every day? And I took each of the parts of the armor that are put on, and I could immediately think to, okay, I know how often God leads me to even start my prayers. Prayers may go different directions, but I can tell you that in my own life, some of the things are expressed in my prayer time. And then some of the things are expressed throughout my day as I declare God's truth over my life. I live in a house by myself, so people don't think I'm crazy when I speak out loud. So I can walk around my house and just declare God's truth over my life. No one's going to hear it. Doesn't bother anyone. If you're out in public, they may look at you like he's crazy. And maybe you don't mind and you do it anyhow. but I can get away with it. I do it all the time. So I'm throughout my day declaring God's truth over my life. So I started looking at this, and I can tell you personally, I won't tell you which one, but I looked at it and go, okay, I know that I do all of this throughout my day except for one of them. I probably mention it on a very rare occasion. I know there's truth in it, but could I say that it's actually spoken out over my life every day? No. So now I'm aware of that. But so the key is not to make it a religious exercise, but rather it does need to be part of your day in a different way each and every day, because this is what will activate the truth of the word that you're hearing right now, that you do take up and put on this full armor of God. And we're going to see more as we go forward the reason for this full armor of God. I can tell you, I didn't really see all of it or at least to the extent that God has showed me at this point in time, to say that I now see it all would be wrong. All I can tell you is I now see more than I once did, because God gave me some revelation on this passage about 2 months ago, the week prior to me leaving on this trip. And I had the opportunity before church to spend some time sharing with Ralph. And I actually gave him a preview of what's to come in these teachings. And he goes, I never saw that before. And I said, don't think that you're the only one that didn't, because up until 2 months ago, I didn't see it either. And he goes, oh, that's just true. Now that you see it, it's true. So that's just, keep listening. There's more is what I'm saying. Part of the reason why I'm so excited about this is there is more. It just keeps going and going. But now what I want you to see next in this verse, it says, so you take up the whole armor of God. Do this daily. Not in a religious fashion, but do this. That you may be able to withstand. Now notice here, there's a different word used. Prior to this, it's been stand. Stand. And you'll see stand again. But here it says withstand. And if you were to look up this word in the Greek, it means something different than the word plain stand means. And the key is here, withstand will give you the very clear explanation that to stand, Josiah, stand up, if you would. Okay? Now, move out here just a little bit. I'm going to use him as an example. I did this with the Messiah too, and they loved it and they got it. Okay, he's standing up, right? So you're standing. So you're standing there, and then I do this to you. Did you see him move? Now, withstand me. See, there's a difference. There's something coming against you, but if you're going to withstand, there's a different posture than there is. Thank you for your help. And I did it to the Messiah, who are the warriors, and they really laughed at the first one I pushed, because he almost fell over. He didn't expect it. And so everyone got a pretty good laugh. And then when he said withstand, I could have pushed him with all the might I had and he wouldn't have moved, trust me. And so they loved it. They got it. So there's more than just standing. It's not just standing up. It's taking a posture, a position that you will not be moved by what's coming against you. And how do you do that? By doing all that is talked about before this point and everything that's going to come after it in this passage. This is how you're able to withstand the one who's coming against you. Okay? And I actually went back and looked at the Greek word here, the withstand, and it actually gave three things. It means to stand against, to oppose, or to resist. And when I heard that word resist, it immediately took my mind to another passage that I'm aware of. In fact, I think Pastor David referenced this passage last week. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. So for those of you who want to turn there, but in my mind, it just adds to what's being said here. Reconfirms it, puts it in a different way. Oftentimes I can look at something in one place and get something. And then I go to, God will give me something else. Oh, that talks about that over here too. And I'll go there and then I'll see even more. And so now I've given you the definition of that Greek word used there when it says withstand in Ephesians, that it means to stand against, to resist. And then 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9 says this, be sober, be vigilant, or in other words, be watchful. So don't be surprised when Satan or his demons or whatever, these spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, come against you. Be watchful. That's what it's saying. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. That's where my mind went to right away when I said this. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And I loved it when I went here, because this is what I didn't see. There's another connection to this passage in the one in Ephesians. And you're going to see more about this later as we continue on in Ephesians. But remember this here. Are you cognizant about the fact, or are you aware of, do you think about the fact that when Satan's attacking you, that your brothers and sisters in Christ are being attacked in the same ways by Satan. In other words, you're not the only one he's attacking if he's attacking you. Okay? All your brothers and sisters in Christ are being attacked the same way. In fact, we're actually promised this. What a great promise, right? He will attack us if, in fact, we are doing what God would have us do. I think Pastor David mentioned this last week, that we are persecuted for the word's sake. If you are taking the word of God out and sharing God's word and living God's word, you can expect persecution. In other words, Satan's going to find ways to come against you. That's not stopping till Christ returns or you die. Okay? Because the Bible makes it clear he's not stopping. He's going to keep doing that, so it can be expected. Now, do we live in fear of that? No. But we need to be aware that is what he's going to do and know what his tactics are. So that when we see him, you just go, oh, this is just Satan being Satan. And I know a bigger God. So it really doesn't matter. Right? But be aware that your brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing the same things, the same type of attacks that you are. And you're going to see later as we go through this why this is important. Ralph knows. I already shared it with him. So if you want to find out in advance before we get there, you can go talk to Ralph afterwards. So the next phrase, it says, take up the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil age. Now, this one's quite simple. The evil age is any age where you can see that the morality of the world around you is bad. Can any of you say by looking around at the world around you that this isn't that time right now? Okay? It's pretty bad out there, in case you haven't noticed. Unless you are like the ostrich and have stuck your head in the sand, nope, everything's just fine. I think it's pretty clear to see that we're in the evil age. Okay? So we need to be able to withstand in the evil age. With all this morality, badness, whatever word you want to use that's going on around you, you just know that it's not a surprise to God. It's in the Word that we need to be able to withstand when we see what we're seeing today. Then it says, and having done all. Okay, what does all mean? This word is really good in the Bible. And when you look it up in the Greek and you look at the definition, it means all. I like it when it's that simple. In other words, you can't miss it. So what it means here is having done all. Everything that's been mentioned prior to this. In verses 10 through, we're now in verse 13. Okay? Having done all. It means do all that you've heard to this point. And it means continue to do all that you're going to hear following this. Okay? It means all. It's that simple. Do all of this. This is what he's telling us to do. And once again, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And to continue to be doers. Continue to be doers. It's not a once and done. Okay? If in fact, let's say for example, you had a revelation of faith. You've got it. You've used your faith. You've moved this big mountain before in your life. That, you know, not literal mountain, but that big thing that was against you, that was the mountain in front of you. And you have this revelation of faith. You've got it. You've used it. You've walked in it. So what would your life look like if you never used it again? Would you be walking in faith? No, you've actually got to do it over and over and over and over again. Each time a mountain comes before you, you do it. It's the same way here. You need to put these things into practice over and over and over again if you want to have the results that God expects you to get. It's because he set it up this way. In other words, you're not forcing him to do something. He has just put it into place so that when you do things the way that God tells you to do them, you can expect God results. Okay? So having done all, so now we've done all before what it says and after, it then says to stand again. Now, something I haven't mentioned at this point, as I said, stand is used over and over again. And this is a point that I want to bring out here. And that is, Have you noticed that it doesn't say, in having done all, to attack? Doesn't say that, does it? It says to stand. And if you'll notice, it said stand throughout this. Now, here's also something that's important to see. The enemy's coming against you, and what he's coming against you for is to take away that which you already have. So by standing, what you are standing for and on is all that God has already done for you, has already given to you. And so you do not allow Satan, when he comes against you, to take anything from you that's already yours. You stand on every word of God that God has spoken over your life. And you're not going to allow Satan, in his deception, in his great distortions of the truth of the word of God, take anything from you that's already yours. So you're standing on what is already yours. Okay? Now, I'm going to close with this week, because it goes back to what we shared from 1 Peter. You do know that there are some brothers and sisters in Christ, around the world in particular, because I'm thinking of the tribes of Africa that I've gone to, that haven't been shared the word of God to the depth that you all have. I mean, we're in a great place here, hearing from Pastor Bill, hearing from other men and women of God, and we have been God's children for many years, most of us. And so God has showed us things over time. You do know there are many believers who, they just got saved. They're not even aware of what God has given to them. Beyond salvation, many of them. So part of what's happening here, and I'm giving you a little bit of a clue to the end of this, is that we also need to be standing for our brothers and sisters in Christ that really don't even know what they have yet and really don't know what they're supposed to be praying with. We have a job, and that's to stand for them. Okay? And we're going to see more on this as we go on throughout this. And because it talks about it more, especially down in verse 18. So if any of you want to see the ending, read verse 18. We're going to talk about it later. But as I've been taught this in the past, you don't sit there and count, well, how many times have I heard this sermon? Many of you could say you've heard on the armor of God, pick a number, more than 50 times, whatever that number is. But all I can say is from my own recollection, everything that I heard, now maybe it was presented because sometimes I do miss things. But in my mind, when I heard it, it was taught 10 through 17. Because in 17, you put on the last two pieces of the armor of God. Okay, we're done. We got it on. Read verse 18. Because verse 18 tells you what you're supposed to do once you put the armor on. Really, it tells you why you have put it on. And we're going to talk about that in detail. But you can start looking at it and see what God shows you before we even get there. So I've jumped ahead because we have not put on that armor of God yet. When we come back next week, we're going to start putting on those pieces of the armor of God, which comes in the next, like, three verses. Now, I will say that you could spend about an eight-week teaching on each one of these things. Think about, I'm going to talk about righteousness maybe in 20 minutes. You could spend 8 weeks. I'm going to talk about salvation maybe in 20 minutes. It could take 12 weeks. You know what I mean? So we're only going to get a brief overview, but I want to bring out some things that God put in my heart specifically to share with you so that as you put on this whole armor of God throughout your day, once again, not in some religious activity, step by step, but I want you to think of some things when God leads you to do that throughout your day. So that's it for this week. We will pick up there and continue next week. I just want to close with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank you for your word, that it is what you wanted us to hear today. Give us the strength, the ability to do what it is you've revealed to us to do. Make us strong in your might. We thank you in advance for all that you're going to do, and look forward with hope to your return with great joy. In Jesus' name, amen.